Take your Bible, turn to Daniel chapter 3. And I promise I'm not going to preach long tonight, and I mean that. Daniel chapter 3, what's that? Yeah. Daniel chapter 3. We're going to read a fairly lengthy passage here. I'm sorry, but I want us to see it in Scripture. I'll talk for, retell the story just momentarily and then preach. And I really think 30 minutes we're going to be done and having the invitation. Notice I said think. All right. Daniel chapter 3, we're going to read verses 16 through 26 together. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 26. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. All right. Daniel chapter 3. If you don't have it by now, just look intelligently at the page you're on.
Hey, chapter 3.
Scott, are you blushing? Oh, just man. About. Top of your head's turning red. All right, Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 26. Ready? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hang on. Ready? And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And let's read verse 26. Ready? Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake, and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And let's pray. Holy Spirit, I need you tonight. Help me. Lord, I'm a sinner just like everybody else. I need you. I stand before you needy. Please allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. We've rejoiced. We've remembered. Remember the days in the hotel rooms and from one hotel to the other and then the rented building and then to this building. Now we're building our permanent building. Lord, we've had good memories, but Lord, we have to live today, and we have to live tomorrow. Give us a truth that will help us, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the story of three Hebrew young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Aren't you glad you don't have those kinds of names today? These were Jews who were taken into Babylon during the captivity, and I'm sometimes surprised people don't understand Hebrew and Jewish. They're the same group of people. Jewish is the religion. Hebrew is the nationality. But they're one and the same. Hebrew and Jewish are virtually the same thing. And these college age young men, they are kind of what you would call upper class slaves. when Nebuchadnezzar came in and destroyed, Babylon came in and destroyed Israel, he took the best of the young people. He took the skilled tradesmen and he took the best of the young people, the smart ones, so that he could train them to be leaders of the Jews that they brought captive, train them in the Babylonian ways to bring the Jews into the Babylonian ways, and they would follow those Hebrews that they brought in. By the way, it's honestly not a bad way for somebody to overtake somebody. It's much like what General Patton got in trouble for after World War II. General Patton got ripped out of leadership in World War II after it was over because he was appointing former Nazis in leadership over the rebuilding of Germany. And people back home, politicians and folks, were saying, "What's he doing putting Nazis?" He said, "Those are the most qualified people." And he said, "Go anywhere in Germany and find somebody that didn't lick the boots of a Nazi." He said, "All of them were. You're not going to find anybody here that didn't hail to the Führer." And he said, "You're not going to find them." He said, "These people need people that they can follow that have leadership ability." And Patton literally got pulled out of that and put into a paper army to push papers before he was killed. And this is much the same. Nebuchadnezzar was, I hate using the term, he was pretty sharp. He was bringing the best of the people in, not only to increase Babylon as a nation, but to bring these slaves in to follow the Jews that were going to lead the other Jews. And he could bring in a whole nation of people and increase that much more quickly. So Nebuchadnezzar was not a Christian. He was a bit emotional in his leadership. If he liked something, he went all the way. He was what the world would probably call bipolar. He either went this way all the way or that way all the way, but there was nothing in between. He liked you, or he said, "No, if you don't do this, then I'm going to hack you in pieces and make your house a dunghill, and we're going to burn your family and kill them inside of it and just let everybody pile up all of their animal waste in your house after we kill you in it." That's the kind of guy he was. He was not a real nice man. He was not a saved man. And these Hebrews, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and some of the Jews, they were hardline, what we would call Christians. All of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar had this, they were building and stroking his ego, and he had erected an image of himself. Now, you have to understand something. He wasn't real bright. This image was 9 feet wide and 90 feet tall. Okay? That is as wide as from the side of that light to the side of that light, wide, and 90 feet tall. That's a 9-story building. It was a giant totem pole. And it traveled. He would bring it throughout the kingdom, and he had a rock band that followed it, and they said, "When you hear the sound of the sackbut, psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all the musicians, you got to fall on your knees and worship before that golden idol." And it was an idol of himself. You talk about out of proportion. You know, he couldn't say, "Honey, does this make me look fat?" 9 by 90 does not make you look fat, all right? Grossly out of proportion here. Here's what happened. That came around, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bend their knee. And the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar said, "If you didn't, then he would kill you." And Nebuchadnezzar saw that three of the leaders, three of the princes of the eunuchs, which Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were, by the way, they were co-equal with Daniel, and they didn't bend. He said, "I'm going to give you one more chance." And they said, "King, we're not going to do it." He said, "Strike up the band." Everybody fell down on their face, started worshiping the false god, and there stood Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They weren't rebelling. They just weren't going to bow to the false idol. And King Nebuchadnezzar got ticked off, got mad. He said, "That's it." He bound them up. He said, "Fire up the furnace." He said, "We're going to burn you alive." And he said, "Then we'll see if your God can deliver you." Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego said, "Look, our God's able to deliver us, but if not, we're still not doing this." Now, there's a little bit of doubt there. Notice in verse number 18. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, there's always some doubt in faith. There's always doubt in faith, or faith is not necessary. 6 years ago, I looked at my wife. I said, honey, we're going to give it a shot. I hope this works. Because I don't know what we're going to do, but God said do it. You say, what was that? We're going to do this. But if not. But if not. So, he decides to throw them into the fiery furnace. The Bible says that he fired it up. It says 1/7 times hotter. There are some people that say it was 7 times hotter. That's not technically, scripturally right. 1/7 is 1/7. Most fires burn around 1,800 to 2,000 degrees. You can get some fires a little hotter than that. But you're not going to get a furnace going up to 14,000 degrees. You can't get fire that hot. So it had to be 1/7 hotter. But it's still a dramatic increase, all right? 1/7 of, let's say, 2,100 degrees is another 300 degrees, so you're going from 21 to 2,400 degrees. You're talking melting steel and iron at that point in time. It's like getting thrown into a furnace that's melting iron or steel. That's hot. And the Bible says that they bound them up, put their coats on them, put their hats on them, and tied them up. And the men, he called for the strongest men in the army. When they opened the door of the furnace to throw them in, the fire was so hot, it killed the men that were going to throw Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in. That's hot. They found others that were willing, after the door had opened a while, to get up and push the three young men into the fire. Now, I don't know about you. There's a couple ways I don't want to die. Number one, I don't want to hurt when I die. I just want to die. You know, I don't mind dying. I just don't want to hurt when I go. But I think two of the hardest ways to go would be burning or drowning. You know, I could put up with just about anything else, but burning and just not one of the ways I want to go. You know, I don't like well-done meat. I don't want to be well-done meat. Yeah, it just doesn't appeal to me at all. But the Bible says that they threw them in, they pushed them in, they fell down bound into the fire. After things kind of calmed down a little bit, Nebuchadnezzar leaned over and looked through the door, and he said, uh-oh. He said, how many people did we throw in there? They said, 3. He said, I see 4. And he said, that 4th one looks like the Son of God. Not only do I see 4, but they're loose walking in the fire. And they're not being burnt. And he calls into the fire and he says, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, come out of the fire. And the Bible says that they walked out of the furnace, they walked out of the fire, and it says that their hair and their clothes didn't even smell of smoke. It's better than some Christians I know. They obeyed God in the face of trouble. They decided obeying God was more important than doing something that was wrong scripturally. America is fast coming to the days when we might have to stand in the face of trouble. Just in the last week, somebody called me about doing a wedding. They're not members of our church. They live somewhat in the area here. And they said, look, will you marry us? I said, I have a policy at my church. I do not marry anybody that one of the two in the couple aren't an active member of our church. And I said, I know who you are. I think you're a good person. But I have to follow through with this, because if I don't, this is how churches are getting trapped by the sodomite crowd. If you do it for one, then you're going to have to do it for the sodomites. And I said, I know you're not in that crowd, trust me. I said, but I can't violate this, and it goes on record at the courthouse, and they can look up public records of every wedding I do. My signature's on those. Those are recorded. And if they capture me breaking it for one, then I have violated the constitution of our church, and I am required by law them to marry somebody that would not be scripturally right to marry. And I said, I will not do that. I said, I'm sorry, it breaks my heart. I would love to help you, but I cannot. I'll be honest with you, I don't like that answer. I didn't like it at all. I'd like to help the person. I think it would have been a way for us to get them into our church, but I didn't. I'm not going to get somebody into our church by breaking constitution of our church and opening the door for us to have problems later. So I had to say no and face the trouble that goes with that versus facing trouble down the road. But the day's coming. There's a reason I use the term sodomite. I don't use the contemporary terms. Sodomite is a scriptural word. And it covers all of the alphabet that they're using these days. It does. It covers the whole gamut. Now, I'm going to give you three or four thoughts, and I'm done. Number one, right never changes. Folks, that Bible does not change.
Amen.
Right is still right. It is wrong for somebody to drink alcohol. That doesn't change. Don't care if it's light beer. Don't care if it's heavy beer. I don't care if it's adult lemonade or whatever they call that. Or what is it? They got weird lemonade and iced tea now that's got liquor in it. I don't even know what they call the stuff. What is it? What is it? Yeah, it's like hard cider, but I forget what the... Yeah, I don't even know what it is, to be honest with you, but... Mrs. Lopez has got a refrigerator full of it. spiked lemonade, that's it. Anyway, can I tell you something? It's wrong.
Yes,
Jesus didn't give anybody drunken wine.
That's right.
He was not guilty of violating the scripture. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Jesus is God, and God is the source of all wisdom. He can't be foolish.
That's right.
God said in the Old Testament, woe to them that give his brother to drink.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In reference to an alcoholic beverage. You say, well, Jesus turned water to wine. If you go to John chapter 2, at the marriage of Cana, you find out that wine, he said, why did you give us the good wine, the new wine at the end? New wine means juice. It wasn't alcohol. Social drinking's wrong just as much as drunkenness is wrong. I'm going to tell you something. The rules are good for everybody. The law is good for everybody. Did you know laws are there to protect, not to restrict? I'm going to shock you with something. My son is working as a corrections officer in the prison in Lexington. Did you know that it's not the rule keepers that go to jail? It's the lawbreakers. Did you know that the rules only constrict those that break them? Jails are not for the people that obey the rules. Too many people look at rules as a jail. No, the rules are there to keep you out of jail.
Right.
My son's a mess. He said, Dad, I had another drug bust this week. This is last week. He said, I busted a guy with drugs. He said, I caught him in the bathroom. He was doing drugs. He said, he was trying to flush it. And he said, he tore out of there. He said, I got the drugs. And then I got him. And he said, I got the pepper spray. And he said, it was great. He said, I love OC spray when it's on somebody else. He said, it takes the want to right out of them. I said, yeah. Can I tell you something? Don't look at the Bible as restrictive. Too many Christians say, well, we can't do this and we can't do that. There's a reason. There's a reason. There were certain things I did not choose to do as a Christian young person. Guess what? I'm happy today because I didn't do it. Brother Mike, I didn't drink. Never have. Smelled that stuff and that was bad enough. And if it looks like it already been drank, why would you want to pour it down your throat? Did I say that nice enough? I know we got kids here, but I mean, some of that stuff just it shouldn't be consumed. You know, it just, why would somebody want to act stupid like that? I thank God we have a president. Whether he's saved or not, I cannot tell you. I think he may be, but I'll tell you this, he hasn't drank his entire adult life. He says, drinking alters your ability to make good decisions. I make too many decisions, and I don't want to alter my ability to think. Thank God we have a president that's got some scruples about himself. And he hates liberals. No. Now, rules are for good, not for bad. Did you know there's a reason you're not supposed to drive 70 miles an hour down Queen Street? That is not to be restrictive of you. Well, I have the right to do what I want. Well, your right to do what you want ends when you're violating and infringing on somebody else's right. You don't understand something. If you go into a public place and holler fire and there's no fire, they can put you in jail. That's it. No, it's not hilarious. By the way, they can put you in jail. But why is it, though, that we think we have the freedom of speech to say whatever we want, whether it's right or wrong? The press is not protected to say whatever they want. They're to report truth. And if we don't get our American press under control, we're in trouble. So, right never changes. Did you know right for church does not change? I'm not going the modern way. Because Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. We're going to do it God's way, not the modern way. We're not supposed to change to meet society. We're supposed to change society to meet God. We're not going to have a society church. We're going to have a godly church. Amen. Well, you could have a bigger church. Yeah, there's a lot of people with big churches, but nobody's getting saved. Number two, I got to hurry. So number one, right never changes. Number two, problems come to everybody.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Do you know whether you're saved or lost? You have problems.
Yeah.
Do you know whether you're a good Christian or a bad Christian? You have problems.
Amen.
And let me say this. I'm going to preach a whole sermon on this in days to come. Hang on. Did you know God's not in control of all the bad things that happen?
That's right.
There is a God of this world. God did not create sin. The devil and man did. Well, God allowed that hurricane in North Carolina. I don't know that that's true. I happen to know that Satan can control the weather too. And man ought to be smart enough not to build his house so close to the water that he loses it.
Yeah.
Don't blame God for your foolishness. I'm sorry. Don't come crying to me because you built your house on stilts on the ocean front. And a hurricane comes through there every so often, and you want me to rebuild your house? Wrong answer. I have enough sense not to build that close to the water. Now, if you want to do it, great, but you pay the flood insurance and let your insurance company pay for it, and don't cry because you lost your stuff. And I'm not being unkind, but that's just called wisdom. Now, I'm not mad at anybody, but problems come to everybody. Did you know you're going to have problems? He said, well, I don't have any right now. Just wait till tomorrow. And by the way, problems aren't punishment. Problems are what give you strength to make it another day. My daughter this week had an opportunity. She was at work and lost her keys. She called me, and she was not a happy girl. And of course, she drove to work, and her truck key was on there, and it's the only truck key for that truck there was. Houston, she had problems. Daddy can't drive 7.5 hours and fix it because I didn't have another one for it. I said, you're going to have to get a ride home. And she was carpooling with some girls. And she said, there's enough people here. We can get back and forth. I said, just wait till tomorrow. You're going to have to call a locksmith and you're going to have to get them to come out and make a key for it. Probably going to cost you $150, $200. But I told you, don't lose your keys. I'm not mad. Oh, she was upset. So the next morning she calls. She said, Daddy, I just called a locksmith. He wants $150 cash, and then he wants $150 when he gets there, $300. I said, call another locksmith. I said, that's ridiculous. So she called another locksmith, and he said he'd do it for $150 total, but he couldn't get there till the following day. I said, that's fine. I said, can you get back and forth work? Yeah, but this is stupid. I said, well, welcome to becoming an adult. I said, this is how you're going to learn. I said, I didn't think it was real wise for you to carry your keys everywhere, especially hanging on a string around your neck when you're working in a warehouse. So, no keys that next day. She went to work on the next day, and she just got to work, and my phone rang. And she was pretty excited. I said, what's the matter? She said, Daddy, somebody found my keys. I said, did you call the locksmith? He's supposed to meet you in 30 minutes. She said, I just called him. She saved herself $150. Now, we're not sure if she lost them or somebody took them and then put them out later. It doesn't matter. But she said, Daddy, I prayed all morning this morning. She said, I just said, God, I don't have that kind of money. I shouldn't be wasting money because of my stupidity. Would you help me find my keys and I'll fix that problem? So she was at work last night. I said, you got your keys with you? No, sir. She learned her lesson. Sometimes you go through problems to make you stronger and make you wiser in life. And problems aren't punishment. I wasn't going to punish her over it. Welcome to life. How many of us have locked our keys in a car somewhere? I did a hunting one time an hour from home. I was hunting on my insurance man's property. He said, well, just break the window. The insurance will cover it. I said, well, which one should I break? He told me which one to break. Brother Mike, did you know he told me to break the most expensive, stupid window? It was the smallest window in that car. But it was the most expensive window, including the windshield. Doggone. Still cost me a bunch of money. And I didn't even get a deer that night. Not even fun. Life is made up of problems. Did you know that good people have problems and bad people have problems? Rich people have problems, poor people have problems. Well people have problems, sick people have problems. Everybody has problems. Number next. Problems make it possible so that you can be a better person. Do you know the more problems you get through, the wiser you get? Now, when you keep making the same problem over and over and over, you're not getting wiser. But if you learn from your problems, you don't have to make the same mistake twice. I always tell people, I wasn't the quickest learner in the world, but I sure didn't make the same mistake too many times. I was called the younger brother for a reason. I watched my brother make mistakes and said, don't do that. Watched my brother talk back to my mama one day, and my dad went like that, popped him in the mouth and said, okay, put that in the... Don't be close enough to dad when you talk back to mom. You might get a hand somewhere you don't want it. Well, I found out he put the hand somewhere else if you did it when he wasn't around. But like I said, it wasn't real smart, but I learned not to do it in front of him. Problems make it possible for you to grow stronger and better. You know, the more times you do something, the easier it gets. I watched one of the most amazing things this week, Brother Mike. You're going to laugh at me. But I was out at the property, and they needed a load of crush and run down for the cement trucks. So they were going to do a double path for the cement trucks to run on so they didn't tear up the shale on the parking lot area. I watched this guy, and he comes up, and our excavator says, yeah, he said, I need it about 2.5 inches deep. Guy gets out of his truck, he adjusts some chains, lifts the top, he opens up the back from inside, and he takes off. Drove all the way over, put it down, cleaned off the back of the truck, locked it up, went down, backed up, came up this way, tipped it up, popped that thing, went the other direction with it. Do you know, it looked like you spray painted crush and run, and there wasn't even a seam there. It wasn't higher in the middle where he had made the seam. You couldn't tell the difference in a quarter inch anywhere on that whole thing. And I'm going, Bill looked at me. I said, now that's art. He said, yeah, he does it all with just regular chain links. He said, he knows what chain link and how fast to drive for everything. He said, you tell him we want 3.5 inches, he'll put it right there every time. He said, it's just like spray paint. He said, he's the best. I thought, man, I mean, you couldn't see where one line had... It was... Ooh. Now, if I'd have done it, there'd been big piles everywhere, you know? He said, no, he makes my job easy. He said, I just get out and roll it. He said, it's fine. I was like, no. He got out of the truck. I said, you've done that a time or two, haven't you? He said, oh, yeah, a long time I've been doing this. I said, it's quite obvious. I said, you're real good. And, you know, the more you do something, the easier it gets. You ask me to do that? Mm-mm. It's going to take me 20 years to get it like that. Or I'll get dumb luck and get it once, but not the second time. So, the great people are those who have overcome the great problems. You get greater by problems, not by the lack of problems. Number four, and I'm done. And I need you to think with me. You may never see how you get through it. But you can get through it. I'm going to throw a thought at you. Do you know that nowhere in the scripture does it say that Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego saw Jesus in the fire? It says that Nebuchadnezzar saw him. It says that the people on the outside saw him. Do you know nowhere in Daniel chapter 3 does it even imply that Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego saw him? They knew something happened, but it never says, never even leans towards the fact that they ever saw him. They never came out and said, we saw Jesus in there. Not once. Now, they knew God did something, obviously. You don't walk around in 2,500 degree temperatures and walk out and don't smell even like smoke. But not one time does it even say that they even saw him. But people on the outside did. Listen to this statement. You may not be able to see what others see, but keep going through the problem. You may not see God working in your problem, but others may see God working in your problem. You might not understand those days when, amen, Brother Barnes, oh, God, I got to have $90,000 on a project. Wasn't ready for that. I know the bank's going to have a conniption fit backwards. What are you going to do? God, I'm tired of this mess. It's your house. It's your work. You do what you want. And I'll be hanged about 14, 16 hours later. Man walks in my office and hands me a $25,000 check. Okay. Now I only need 70. No problem. Yeah. You say, what is that? I didn't see what God was doing. And the very time I was telling God, you take care of this, that man that handed me the check said, last night at this time, my wife and I decided this amount. It was the very moment I was saying, God, you take care of this. Now, I didn't see it then. I didn't sleep much that night, but God did. He knew the check was already written. I didn't know it was, but he did. I didn't see God, but I saw what God did. Can I tell you something? Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego never saw Jesus according to Scripture. You may not see him as you go through the problem, but may I say this, you can see him work. Others may see him. Good night. I've organized enough big things that people say, oh, that ran so smoothly. You know, that's only true to the people that don't know what's going on behind the scenes. It's what I call the duck philosophy. Calm and smooth on top and paddle like this underneath to stay above. It looks really disorganized from my side. I'm glad it looks smooth on that side. But if you'd seen how furious I was 30 seconds before you looked, you wouldn't have said that. Yeah, that's how it works. It can appear that way to that side. This side sees all the other parts. And just like in Daniel chapter 3, you might not see God in your problem, but keep on going. God will deliver you. You may not see him, but God will take care of it. I promise you, every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. What's your problem? We're going to have to face problems. We're going to have to go through them. Quit looking for God to show himself and just keep on going. Right doesn't change. Keep doing right. God will take care of it.